So the Grammys were last night, and predictably,
that's so crazy to me.
One song took the whole thing home. Every award was actually awarded to that song where the Fortnite kid is like, number one victory royale.
Motherfucker, yeah, I have Fortnite, had that song in my head to get down. For like, I mean, 2 days, and it just left today. God damn it.
You do have to hand it to him. You have to hand it to him. It's so good. It's so fucking good.
The singing is unusually well done.
I can't tell if it's an actual child or if it's like somebody who does like an impression of a child's voice.
It sounds like a child,
yeah. Doing a bit.
It sounds like it's a fucking 12-year-old who was just in like middle school choir or whatever was like, make a Fortnite song.
Now, where does that song come from?
I guess it's just some YouTuber who was doing like does song parodies, and then somebody posted it to TikTok, and like it's one of those things where it's like a meme out of context. If it works out of context, it's a good meme where like people were like, "Holy shit, this is actually incredibly funny." So more people used it, and it snowballed until like literally billions of people had seen or heard a video with that song attached to it.
Is it recent? Is it a recent song?
It recently got put into that like app or whatever, the app where you can make a picture sing.
Where you can make the muncher sing it.
Right.
Or Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
Or Vladimir Lenin or Ho Chi Minh or whatever. Yeah.
It went viral on TikTok initially, but I think the parody song had actually been around for longer, which actually, I was thinking about this today. I didn't mean to bring up the stupid Fortnite song, but here's the thing. It is a new thing that music is now getting promoted through TikTok, right? Think about it.
Yeah.
Right? There are songs... Like, yeah, exactly. That Olivia Rodrigo driver's license song. This fucking Fortnite kid song.
Fast Car.
Yeah, exactly. That was like one of the first ones. TikTok is an avenue now for musical artists to get big. So when one of these songs blows up on TikTok, it obviously, residual, the song blows up everywhere else. But it begs the question, like, is this organic? Or is that song is a record label or a PR agency paying TikTok or paying influencers to use that song on TikTok? How, like, what's going on behind the scenes there? Because there's got to be something insidious.
For sure.
I mean, I have to imagine that if stuff was able to get popular organically on TikTok, somebody would have already uploaded the Beep Beep Lettuce theme song and all the remixes. We'd be rolling in that Chinese venture capital right now.
Yeah, Tencent, get at us.
I mean, we do get a lot of DMs saying we would love to promote your song, episode 125 preview on SoundCloud. Maybe some of these are from real business people, and I'm just ignoring them.
That's my favorite thing about being a podcast on SoundCloud is like that the all of the fake messages are still tooled towards DJs. So it's like, we'd like to put your 58-minute track that's all talking into our Tropical House mix.
Just send us your PayPal and we'll give you $50 to put it in there.
Yeah. Do you guys know Submit Hub?
No.
I don't think so.
No, what's that?
Okay, Submit Hub, that's another like, there's like the influencer economy. It's all really dark. Stuff that like is really, I mean, so Submit Hub is a thing. I think it's for songs primarily. I don't know if you can do art or whatever on it too. But Submit Hub is how you if you're a musical artist or a record label doing this on behalf of a musical artist, that's how you get your songs onto playlists, right? So if you're like, if you make a lo-fi hip-hop beat and you're like, how do I need to get this onto the streams, onto the playlist, whatever, there are the people that make the playlists, they have an account on Submit Hub as a label or whatever, and you pay $5 for like 5 credits, and you pay a credit, and it submits your song to that person. And so, but I mean, that's just one aspect, and the TikTok shit is another aspect of how like the entirety of like the media landscape is changing for the worse. I mean, like 20 years ago, you could 15 years ago, you could like go viral. Now going viral is fucking impossible. And it's like, it's all the influencer economy. It's fucking disgusting.
Or it's worthless. If you go viral in the traditional sense, it just doesn't get you anything. You might like net like 1,000 Twitter followers off of it, but you're not going to make any fucking money. Like long gone are the days where like you and your band could get like a test pressing of like 9 records and then get discovered in your local music scene by standing on a really tall hill and just winging them around town. you know?
And just like every single one karams off the head of a record label executive and it's like, oh, hey, what's this? Oh, say, these kids have got the mojo. Find them. And then they're just like sprinting at full speed with a briefcase looking for them.
Where is Tommy Two-Tone?
100 years ago, if you Twitter ratioed a sitting senator, you would literally get to get his job. But now if you do it like I did this week, like nothing happens except a bunch of blue MAGA people go into Ted Cruz's replies saying, Mr. Cruz, please vacate your seat. We've discovered your incriminating shitpost.
Yeah. You have violated intellectual property, sir, and for that, you will be sentenced to death.
Yeah, what the fuck do these people think is going
to
happen?
Relevant to the image that Ted Cruz stole, like, do you think he could even man a barbecue? Like, he's definitely the kind of guy who, like, throws a party and somebody else has to come up and work the grill. You know what I'm talking about? Like, Cruz can't flip a steak. Not a chance.
He would buy meat that's like all wrong. Like he would buy like frozen like pre-seasoned chicken wings, and his friends are like, "No, no, you're supposed to buy it. You season it after you cook it, Ted." And he's like, "Oh, I didn't know. You know, there were so many liberals at the store. I just saw red."
Ted, why are the legs and arms of this pig so long, and why does it have opposable thumbs?
Well, that's an old Cuban recipe I learned from my dad before he was forced to leave for fake crimes that he never committed.
Yeah, my friend Mr. Batista showed me this little seasoning trick.
Yeah. Step one, you know, the meat has to be in a helicopter first. Throw it out of a helicopter if it gets it the best flavor.
So speaking of, you know, the music industry going just crazy, like you said, the Grammys happened last night and everyone's mad because Bill Burr didn't know how to say someone's name, I guess.
Oh, is that what he did wrong?
This is what they finally get mad at Bill Burr for?
He does
like 5 years of funny comedy and then 15 years of just hacky bullshit, and this is what they're finally mad at him for.
Yeah, Bill Burr is interesting because I feel like he's always been pretty funny, and then after a while he was just like, I'm just gonna talk about my wife and and
I mean,
just
he's like one of those he's one of those comedians who has a lot of genuinely funny insights, but then he's like so wrapped up in his idea of what his persona is supposed to be.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm shouting, I'm a white guy who hangs out with black guys. Like, he's just so like invested in that, like, in such a narrow way.
I don't know, I think it's the way he's presented. I mean, like, the Grammys had to know that this is going to be the least watched Grammys ever, because nobody gives a fuck about the Grammys. And like,
I literally didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know it was happening. I watched two fucking sci-fi B movies. So what they're doing is like, no. Bill Burr is just he is a funny guy. Like, some people have a natural talent for comedy, and like, he just hasn't changed. I feel like a lot of like, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago, stand-up comedians like were just saying shit that would literally get somebody thrown in prison today, or like thrown into like a mandatory re-education seminar. But like, Bill Burr is like the one guy
that they should kill the president.
That used to be okay under Bush for libs.
Yeah.
But so Bill Burr is this guy they trot out when they want to generate a controversy, because like, he just kind of is still doing the same thing, you know, and he's genuinely funny about it. But this is a marketing campaign. Like, the Grammys knew they were going to be completely fucking irrelevant this year. So they were like, how can we generate a non-controversy to get some hate clicks?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it makes a lot of sense to use Bill Burr, like you said, because like, back in the day, he was like, hey, I'm an edgy Gen Xer with a lot of opinions. And now it's like, oh, great, the Oscars are going to trot out that edgy Gen Xer with a lot of fucking opinion. Like,
yeah. Yeah, the edgy thing that made all these people mad was that he said, oh, why am I a cis white man presenting the Latino music? Like, come on.
And it's like,
that's,
yeah,
that's
no
like kind
really
of a woke joke.
Yeah.
That's not even offensive.
He's
like,
it literally
making fun
is.
Of himself. He's not really making fun of Latinos or feminists.
He's saying, oh, why is a white cis guy keep doing that? Also, why are you there? You're a comedian. I guess comedians like win Grammys sometimes, but
I mean, they got nothing. They're like, I guess we'll get Bill Burr to do it. Also, this is a little off topic, but the category he's presenting is best tropical Latin album, and I saw that yesterday and I was like, what the hell is tropical Latin? Does that mean like music from the DR or something?
Only music from the Dominican Republic.
It feels weird because it's like tropical house is like a subgenre, but it's like,
no, that's not what they mean.
But yeah, it's like it's a specific type of music. It's very weird.
Yeah, it can't be from the Andes Mountains. It has to be from the tropical rainforest or the Caribbean. Yeah.
It has to be from the Capri Sun region.
As the years go on and the increased like atomization of content and all this like shit, like there's so many subgenres of like vaporwave and like lo-fi hip hop. There's going to be like a category in the Grammys for all those genres. It's like best YouTube lo-fi hip hop stream by a woman of color. Like that's going to be a fucking category in the new Grammys.
It is like that. And didn't they just change that shit from urban to something else that was like coded? Like they just want to say black, but they can't.
Right. But they didn't actually like pick a better name. Cause I think they did awful. That with like world music too, where they were like, instead of world music, it's global music. Something. Like they're always just like changing the name, but not actually changing the meaning. It's kind of like when Lady Antebellum was like, we're Lady A now. And it's like, okay, what does the A stand
for? Yeah, what does the A stand for?
It still stands for Antebellum. It's not a better name.
Nothing.
Well, it's like, I think the liberal, like, kind of capitalist brain has caught onto the idea that there's, like, a treadmill of, like, euphemisms now and that shit falls out of favor and into favor. But they don't actually want to assess, like, what it is about different terms that make them unacceptable. They just want to, like, throw their little signal test in the air and be like, oh, this one's no good. Need a new word. Like, that's their whole... They don't care about the content of the word. They're just like, just get a new one in here so we can market it.
It's progressive R&B now.
Yeah.
Which seems worse.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, John, so, I feel like, in the 90s, you could do that and it, like, kind of worked. Like, you could just pick a new word. Like, I don't know, at some point someone decided like disabled was better than crippled or something. And it's like it moved slowly enough that you could just like change the word and it's like, okay, cool. That's fine. And there's a lot of like old people who still like think in that way and they're like, we just need a new word, and they don't understand that the internet will instantly be like, yeah, but it means the same thing. You can't just change it.
And also like the whole cycle of things becoming unacceptable is happening much faster now. Like for better or for worse, and I have no idea which one it is, but for better or for worse, like somebody will be in like completely good faith and be like, hey, I don't want to speak for the differently abled. And then like somebody else will be in the comments like, differently abled? How dare you?
Fucking
like,
big.
Yeah, and it's like, it can be hard to know what to say to not like just have some random person up your ass all of a sudden.
And it's always something that's like more offensive. It's always something that's like, wait.
Sounds awful sometimes.
This is, you think this is less offensive than this other thing? It's like, and it's all, okay, so here's why they chose Bill Burr though, because Bill Burr, if you listen to his podcast, he's actually a pretty woke dude. He's just
super woke.
He's a Gen X, he's a genuinely good dude who makes edgy jokes sometimes, and he kind of bridges that gap between like the, I don't know, woke Gen Xers and like edgy Gen Xers, right?
His
audience is all Gen Xers. But
millennials.
So what Bill Burr is actually doing is he's a woke dude putting on a minstrel show where he pretends to be a non-woke guy for the Grammys audience.
I feel like minstrel has an interesting... But yes, exactly. Yeah. He's just being like, oh, you want me to say something... fucking offensive.
I'm cis.
I'm being racist.
He's like doing a little dance.
That's what it is. That's what it is. It's incredibly offensive because liberals now view people with like non-woke views as like fucking subhuman animals. Right? They view them as
like,
something
as
to be
racist,
made fun
I'm
of.
Offensive.
Look, when Hillary Clinton talked about the basket of deplorables, I felt seen because I'm a deplorable dickhead, and that's how I am. And you know, finally, someone recognized me for who I am.
All right. Well, speaking of racists, Biden, being the great white hope, I guess, of the liberals, the AP is reporting that children are being packed into border patrol tents for days on end.
Nice loophole. No one talked about kids in tents. Kids in cages.
Nobody thought about that.
You could say toddlers in tents, and then you have the alliteration.
Hundreds of migrant children and teenagers have been detained at a Texas border patrol tent
facility. Toddlers in tents. Jesus Christ.
Toddlers in tents. That's what's happening.
Packed conditions. Lawyers who have interviewed some of the children say the Biden administration has denied the lawyers access to the facility. So,
well,
you know,
maybe the lawyers were trying to, maybe they were trying to groom the kids, you know, maybe the lawyers were actually bad.
Oh, there's,
why they're not being allowed access to these children that are being held, without, you know, just without
by
any
the
rights.
State. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Unable
well, and
to
this
leave.
Is like an extension of the whole like Democrat plan for everything, which is to just be like, oh, you want us to have less kids in cages? How about we increase funding for ICE and Department of Homeland Security so that we can put them in better conditions? Or like, you want less police on the street? How about we fund the police more for better training? And it's always a fucking lie. Like there's no,
yeah.
There's a, you know, and we could protest it however we want. Like you said, like toddlers and tents, we could be like, no more kids under, you know, carnival awnings, and it wouldn't make any fucking difference. They're gonna pack these kids in despicable conditions no matter what.
Yeah, because this is just like, it's like no more kids in cages doesn't mean make the cages fancy, which right. is immediately what they started doing, if we recall, a couple of month like last mm-hmm. month
right.
they were
and
just
by
like
fancy,
oh,
just
these
like,
are actually cool campuses that the kids get to hang out in and not aren't allowed to
yeah
leave.
Yeah, they had like stickers on the walls and stuff. It was not really that much fancier.
Even our supposedly like progressive libs like fucking AOC were going on Twitter and being like, the facilities should be inspected more often and have the proper permits, and it's like, that's just dog shit. Like fuck everybody who's in an elected office right now. Like every single one of you can just go fucking die. Like, why don't we put
yeah,
you
I mean,
in a fucking camp? Like,
that's
Jesus
the problem
Christ.
That we talked about when this like this stuff first started like cycling in the news. Not when it first started happening, obviously, because I mean that was before the podcast, but it was also during Obama, so it wasn't something that was at the right. forefront of people's minds. But when we first started right. talking about like when it first started like abolish ICE and that kind of shit was, you know, a cause that people started rallying behind. I brought this up. It's like the federal government. They really fucked this up. These kids' lives, in many cases, are ruined forever because it's like, how yeah. do you track down the parents of a kid if they're in a country where it's like there's not the infrastructure to track them down? So that, I mean, then that child just becomes a permanent ward of the state for the rest of their lives and all of the bad things that mm-hmm. that entails, where it's like they get ejected into adult life when they turn 18 with like no tools to like take care of themselves, as far as like they're not they don't get the same education that a like, you know, suburban child would get or whatever. So it's like they're right. turned into this permanent underclass that not even a citizen, to the point where it's like, yeah, they are the perfect subject for like just perpetuating the like the migrant worker thing, where it's like we just need an underclass that is necessitated by our lifestyles yep. here in the United yep. States.
Well, that's like the thing. A lot of people have been like, why isn't the government printing money? And in a lot of ways, what the government is trying to print is the reserve army of labor. Mm-hmm. They want the underclasses to get bigger. They want to swell the ranks of unemployment and all of this shit because it better serves them. And plus, you know, with the kids in the cages, like a lot of them are just straight up lost. Like a lot of them are like, oh, we had a name written down at some point, but that person is gone now and we have no idea where they are.
We do not
and,
know who that is. Yeah.
And yeah, with a bunch of, with the way that the US government and all these departments are structured, there's no doubt in my mind that a lot of these kids are ending up, you know, getting human trafficked for either like sex trafficking or the purposes of drug trafficking. Because like the three letter agencies all fucking talk to each other. You know, the DHS is definitely giving yeah. the CIA kids to smuggle coke across borders or whatever. Like 100%.
Absolutely. Jesus. I mean, that's the whole thing that, you know, the Cold War was about, was figuring out like, okay, we can't have this permanent underclass of black people because they're in our borders and they're going to rise up and they're going to talk to sympathetic white people. Like, you know, without we understood that we couldn't have this system without slavery. So the entire World War III was just about conquering the rest of the country and making us slave states so that we could have this system. And, you know, because we did that to Latin America, now they're all just coming here because they want to, you know, have the rights that we say we have.
Or they just don't want to die.
Yeah, that's the problem with imperialism.
Yeah.
Eventually you run out of other people's natural resources.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's why you go to space and take those.
I've been thinking about this a lot. And there was a post on Twitter that I saw about like, oh, you know, if you're a communist, you should be a fully automated luxury gay space communist, and not a we should do austerity in the first world because of the choices that big business has made. And I think that rings true. That rings true for this situation as well, because it's like these people are the first victims of that austerity, right? Because the neoliberal order is the elites get everything that they want, and the people at the bottom, like they are just less than dirt, right? If you want to build an equitable, like a more just and equitable future for not just Americans, but like these people from the global South that are seeking out a better life, you need to put the emphasis on this is the people at the top's fault. You can't say like, to an extent, it is our lifestyles. It's like we enjoy a very unsustainable lifestyle where we get, you know, fresh fruit shipped to the middle of nowhere, Arkansas, yeah. on the backs of like migrant laborers. And it's like, yeah, that there's something that should probably be done about that. But it's not like it's not austerity to make the lives of, you know, just working class people as miserable as working class people in the global South. It's the people at the top need to be held accountable. And then we need to create a program that encourages at the local level, like cooperative agriculture in cities and small towns using their green space to make more sustainable harvesting programs instead of relying on that like big business factory farm trade that exploits so many people.
Mm-hmm. There's an interesting bit about that too, because it's like I think a lot of people do get the idea that like if you're a particularly well-off worker, or if you're in a place of moderate privilege or even significant privilege or whatever, that like the thing you need to do is like start giving up your fucking time and resources directly to people who need it. And it's like, that is a good thing to do. Like, nobody's going to tell you that's not a good thing to do, but that's not systemic change. Like, you really want to throw your resources at something, you need to throw your resources at making sure that the people who put those people in that position will never have the chance to do that again. That's going to matter, you know, 100-fold more.
And I think that's really important to remember, Todd, what you were saying, that like, though that's not even necessarily a true dichotomy, but like, the goal is to make life better for everyone. And the fact is that like people say like, oh, you can't have this lifestyle because it relies on the global South or whatever. But it's like the lifestyle that relies on the global South is having billionaires. Like, yeah, it's very unclear as to which lifestyle you're talking about when you say that, or when people say that, when they say, oh, well, you know, you can't live in America and you have the same life. Like, things will change for the better for most people for everyone at the bottom first, and things will change for the worse for the people at the top, because that's the difference. Yeah.
It takes a million fucking like working class Americans, you know, having a hamburger, you know, once or twice a week and eating like fresh produce that may have been shipped in from far away. Like, it takes a million of those fucking, you know, ecological carbon economic footprint to equal one fucking Bezos, to equal one fucking Walton.
Billion.
A quarter of a Bezos.
The impact that those people have on the global South.
Well, and it's like a lot of people do get this thing, like they'll share that that fucking infographic, which is kind of telling in one way, where it's like, you know, the lady drinking her Starbucks on her smartphone, and you can see all of the different people from around the world who are like, you know, in conditions they're in, illustrated to show like they're bringing you this lifestyle. And it's like, what we need to take from that, like, isn't that you should feel guilty about your fucking Starbucks, right? It's like that's the left equivalent of being like, oh, you think we should improve society, yet you participate in it. Curious.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're literally just doing communist that. Yeah, like, go after the fucking billionaires. Go, like, I'm not saying like don't like make your lifestyle a little bit more like, you know, harmonious with the way you want the world to work. That's fine, but that's a personal project. That's not a political one.
But let's be absolutely clear about that. That's the thing. That's that's deep lib brain. Mm-hmm. Like that
yeah,
is,
it is.
That's it's mm-hmm. so intern. It's so internalized by these people that they can't understand any political project other than a personal branding experience.
And yeah. recycling. I yeah. recycle. I must recycle everything. Absolutely. I got to save the planet by recycling.
I mean, further than that, I don't necessarily agree that like. You could maintain your lifestyle going to Starbucks every day because there's certain aspects of that.
It would change. Yeah,
disposable
yeah.
plastic cups. I mean, like you, we instead of saying you know it's Starbucks but it's communist, it should be hey, you don't need to go to Starbucks because there's not an advertising apparatus generating a fucking like complex in your mind that says you need to go to Starbucks for that branding yeah, experience, right. like Bryn said, and you can just have the same experience if I don't know you. You make coffee at home or you get together with like your family and mm-hmm. make your coffee caffeinating experience. Like nobody should have a fucking Frappuccino. Frappuccino shouldn't fucking exist. Okay.
Well, that's the thing.
All right. It's like a milkshake that was rebranded into like a coffee kind of thing. It's fucking stupid and gross.
Yeah. Made up by Italians. They're not even real people. Why should yeah. we care about
I am, a, I am a Frappuccino rap reactionary. I am anti-Frappuccino. Okay. Blow it all up.
Free actioner. Yeah. But that's the thing. I totally agree. And the thing is that like that picture that John is talking about where she's like sitting on her phone and drinking a Frappuccino. I think the thing that people think about or the thing that people confuse with that picture is they think that all white liberals, all they want is that type of luxury. And mm-hmm. the thing is I think there's something really deep within humans where what they want is to enjoy nice, simple things with people they love mm-hmm. like lots
yeah, it's
of
like they want security
that
and peace.
Same woman generally would love to just make coffee and bring it to the park and have like a nice like time with their friends and like watch their children and like you know have things to do and like the problem is that they don't know anything else like Americans right. literally can't yeah. conceive of having a life that isn't about like having your labor exploited and like having a branding experience.
Yeah. And I mean, fucking for all his faults, you know, Zizek talks about this where he's like, you know, we want to shame each other for like wanting that nice thing, like having a nice computer, like having a nice this or that. It's like, that's fucking ridiculous. And also like, it ignores the fact that like living in a place like the United States where our lives aren't like physically as difficult as a lot of people, but we're under like a crazy weird, you know, advertising induced anxiety bubble, you know, our stresses yeah, are we need like release valves for that kind of shit. So like, if you need to go get yourself like literally just blended ice with milk and coffee, then like go ahead. I don't really
no,
care.
No, it doesn't but, like, matter. Yeah,
it doesn't matter. That's the thing. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, and you would all, and but that's the thing. We would all feel better.
It's the
like
idea
drinking
of
a plain coffee.
Yeah,
it's the idea and the experience and the whole like Starbucks is a great mm-hmm. example because when they want to create this thing called the third place where it's like. Home is the first place.
I
work is
that.
The second place.
I fucking
Starbucks
hate that.
Is the third place. It's like no. There are not three places. There are millions of places. go have a coffee anywhere.
yeah, exactly.
The third place is the woods. Actually,
the third like, place is my
Ted Kaczynski's cabin style.
That's the place.
No. But like, okay. So the reason everybody's miserable and unfulfilled all the time, aside from the fact that like. Having to work to survive makes you miserable and unfulfilled all the time. It's also like you are constantly bombarded with advertisements that the only way they can get you to buy their product is by making you feel as if you don't buy the product, your life will be miserable and unfulfilled. Like they mm-hmm. want you to feel that way constantly, and it backfires because you're constantly oversaturated with it to the point where it's seeping into every other aspect of your life where like a shoe commercial that is like, oh, your kids aren't going to love you if you don't buy these shoes. That's going to make you feel miserable about every other aspect of your life that's even tangentially related because it's that times a thousand every second of every day.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, let me tell you, and it's not even just advertising campaigns. It's also sometimes like the effect that a product had on you during your time and the way that that was woven into whatever advertising campaign they were using. Like, if I think about when I could still walk into a store and buy Altoids Mango Sours, I immediately feel at peace. Like, all of my problems have just been washed away for a few minutes. And like, mm-hmm. that's like a fucking, that's a level of like a psychological reaction that I should not experience based on a little right. piece of yeah. like mango well, candy. You know what I mean? Like
that one thing I love to imagine is like the kind of communism that America would build. Like if it was really like, everyone has an equality, like everyone has equality and everyone has like, you know, there is no labor exploitation. Like there would still have to be things like 7-Eleven that you could walk into high because people would freak out for like decades if they could.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Well, I would love it if it was like it was just like mechanically, everything was just identical to the Soviet Union, but with like 1980s American aesthetics. You know what I mean?
It's going to have like, to
everything,
be that.
Everything yeah, is I mean, like neon. Everything's like neon Blade Runner, but you like your workplace is democratic and like there's no billionaires.
Yeah.
Well, that's and the like, thing. The yeah. aesthetics of the 80s are a modernist aesthetic, right? They're like mm-hmm. in the here and now. They're like, this is it. This is the future. It's like very
great.
geared forward. It's not trying to rehash as much old culture as like a lot of other eras do. And I think that's what happens. Like if your country gets a new shot, like think about the culture that came out of the revolutionary USSR, revolutionary Cuba, revolutionary China. Like it was fucking erupting. Like you want to see some mm-hmm. cool fucking architecture. You want to see some mm-hmm. shit that goes fast on four wheels. You got to have a socialist revolution, my friend. Like
Don't I
for
know
sure.
It. Yeah. It's like if you think about how many people have like posts where they're like, oh, I'm so nostalgic for walking into a Pizza Hut in the 90s. And it's like Bryn was saying, they're not really thinking about like the fact of the brand Pizza Hut or the brand Blockbuster. They're thinking about a fun time where they didn't feel like they had many worries and they were with yes. their friends or their family and they wanted to go eat pizza. You can just eat communist pizza or watch, you know, communist Netflix. Yeah. But it's very deeply in there, like how much that brand is associated with those feelings.
Yep, and this is Lacan's petit objet in action.
The objet
right?
Yeah.
You don't want the Coke that's in the can of Coke. You want the unit. You want the can of Coke. You
want
understand?
The Coke in your it's, brain, yeah.
It's not the amount inside. It's the satisfaction of the object.
It's funny you were saying about the way the Soviet Union is like, or like the 80s is futurist because it's the opposite now. Like I was mm-hmm. walking around Bushwick yesterday and it's like the entire last century of America vomited on itself, like all at once. Like there's just like people walking around like 1920s flappers and then like 1960s like drive-in signs. Like,
so that's a uniquely New York problem. That is like that's just because people in New York are fucking deranged.
That's true.
Or you can go to Utah where it is literally still the 1920s.
Hell yes.
Yeah. Well, speaking of doing a great job.
Speaking, I wanted to talk about, I bumped this one up. Speaking of the third place, Spain is launching a trial of the 4-day work week.
Ooh,
So we got to step up those Patreon numbers because we want to move to Spain.
Yeah, I'll move to Spain. Sure. What's it? Yeah. Más País. Más País.
Eat some paella.
Más País, yeah.
Go clubbing in Barcelona. What else? What other Spain
Barcelona.
Stuff?
Right.
Like they, sort of yeah, like yeah.
Wait, just what drive a say? Tractor and yeah.
Barcelona.
Drive a tractor into a fucking bank or something. Whatever they do Catalonia.
Enlist in the Basque separatist army. I think that would be a really good time.
That sounds cool.
Be good for us. Yeah.
I think that sounds great.
Yeah, we're from the BP Bledis Coalition. We're here to enlist. We don't speak any Spanish yet, but we're willing to learn. We're fast learners.
Yeah, so Más País is, I guess, like probably maybe like if the DSA was a party or something, like Sock Dem stuff.
Yeah,
FDR party. Mm-hmm.
They're like green Democrats in a lot of ways. But doesn't Spain right now have a coalition government that is kind of like social democratic anyway? I'm pretty sure they elected
Socialist Workers Party.
Yeah,
there's a Spanish Socialist Workers Party, and they work sometimes with Más País.
Okay,
but they're mostly the Más País is sort of like the compromise. Where right. they, the Socialist Workers Party didn't win and couldn't, and so they were like, how about this? So they're right. sort of like the capitalist reformers.
So you're saying that's Bernie was the Más País?
basically. Yeah,
or like
yeah.
or like a Green or Corbyn kind of, because I think mm-hmm. they're trying to really like, Spain has such an active and like long-standing workers movement that really experienced a resurgence after like Franco was out of the picture,
right?
And so it's been really hard for the reactionaries and like the center liberals to keep them under wraps, and so they constantly have to be like coming up with new compromises and being like, what about a 4-day work week? What about we reduce emissions even more? What about, you know, like, please don't have a workers' revolution, basically, or go on general
please
strike.
Don't. We won't like it.
No,
it
we
won't
don't.
Be super happy about it. Mm-hmm. But that's very nice. But this is interesting, because this is the thing, is that like lots of Americans like look back at like the 30s and 40s and like look at like how strong the labor revolution was before the CIA decided to crush it, and are like, look at all the things we got done, like the 8-hour work week and no child slavery or whatever. But it's like, yeah, but we didn't have a revolution because there was no like real party, and this
well,
is like,
and all of those worker protections are going away again.
Yeah,
like the 40-hour work week is not a real thing in the United States
anymore. And this is why I get really scared of like this sort of like reformist, like it's just about getting better stuff currently for work. Yeah,
that's a good point, because even if you get the better stuff now, it's like, if you're like stopping whatever action made them give you the better stuff, they'll just be like, okay,
like I'll never
have a four day work week.
I'm never gonna like be like, oh, it's bad that they have a 4-day work week or something. Like, I'm not gonna say that, but I'm just saying like
it's better than not having one
for sure. But I think that what really needs to be, because this is the compromise, right? Like the socialists didn't get to win because they would have been like, how about no labor exploitation ever? And that's just not on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, and it's also like, if you look at the number of countries that are usually getting incremental progress in their labor rights, it's completely outweighed by the number of countries who are slipping backwards or just actively destroying their workers' rights. So it's kind of like capitalism is running the poker table and the house always wins, because the more that one person wins, the more that they get to just fucking shave off for themselves, especially in you know, developed Western European countries who rely on the global South for a lot of their lifestyle, like Spain.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like you can always sort of ramp up the exploitation of someone else in a different country who is like going to be in even less of a position to ever just go on strike or have a revolution or whatever, and just kind of like placate your workers at home for a while and then eventually change conditions.
Well, speaking of an active left movement,
Joe Biden
is going on tour, folks. He's hitting the road. He's doing a Joe Biden road trip. He's loaded up in his hippie van, and they're already hotboxing it with whatever chemical that they feed him in order to make him coherent for 20 minutes so he can give a speech before spending 3 weeks having before he can spend like 3 weeks in like a hyperbaric chamber just babbling to himself incoherently. He's going to a number of states, actually. So I found this interesting. He's going to Pennsylvania, Nevada, Colorado, New Jersey, New Mexico, and Georgia. Kind of suspiciously skipping Texas, perhaps because of the prevalence of book depositories in that state. but also, I mean, like, it's kind of weird that he's not going to. It's kind of weird that he's not going to the one state that's like suffering the worst from an economic exploitation disaster combined by a natural disaster. It's a little weird.
It sounds like he's going to swing states, honestly. He's trying to like...
Yeah.
This whole tour is just an attempt to appeal more to communists. And in so doing, he has not only hired a twinkly guitar player and a drummer, but he booked the whole thing through Facebook DIY groups.
Oh my God.
So it's a little eclectic.
Oh
my
God. Has Joe Biden been posting memes and DIY tour posting on Facebook and no one even knew about it? That's crazy.
He's going to have the goalies
Joe
anxiety
Biden on Twitter
play.
Just like, have you heard this new Covet song? Like...
Joe Biden has like a limited edition cassette at his merch table that costs $1,400. He's like, come on, I know you can afford it.
I just gave it to you, Jack. Oh, yeah. Man.
My opening my
stimulus special.
Yeah, my opening performance is going to be "Your Arms Are Our Cocoons."
Yeah. Joe Biden just goes around the country singing "You're Welcome" from Moana to every audience he's in front of.
Yeah. I'm giving the Medal of Honor to Pat the Bunny
and to myself for what a great job I did.
Yeah, so what he's really doing, like Chris said, is going to swing states in order to try, and I predict that this will ultimately fail miserably, try to prevent just the biggest bloodbath of a midterm we've ever seen.
It's so funny, like 2 months into this, everyone's like, "Woo, fuck this. This was a terrible idea."
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember if Obama did anything like this. I could be totally wrong and he did, but my feeling is that he didn't really when he passed the Affordable Care Act. And that was like, and also just the Affordable Care Act kind of sucked and it made you pay money every month to have health insurance. But like, they might have learned from those mistakes slightly.
Yeah. And also, like, to me, it's so counterintuitive that if you're trying to improve, like, Joe Biden's approval rating in swing states, that you would send him there and put him in front of a microphone. Like, that seems like the wrong move. But then also, it's easy for me to forget because this only happened so recently. But, like, before the election was over, it was so easy for Joe Biden to, like, say something wrong and just tank his ratings. But now the liberals are in fucking lockstep. He could do anything. He could pick up a child by its ankles and shake it and drop it on his head. Oh, and everybody would be like, "Progressive king." Like, you know,
that's Joe Biden drop a child. Mixed. Now, while it's true that Joe Biden did physically grab the child by his feet and lift him up, it was actually the force of gravity pulling on that child that made him fall to the earth. Yeah, not Joe Biden literally acting on him.
That's a great point.
Speaking of somebody else hitting rock bottom, Jeanine Añez, the white evangelical right wing coup leader who took power after Evo Morales was ousted in a CIA-backed coup in Bolivia.
That's right.
Has apparently been found living in a box trying to hide from the people of Bolivia.
That's right. So Jeanine was yanked away from her home and arrested wearing a big cat face shirt, which is great. I loved the cat face shirt. But yeah, now that haven't kept up enough with this. Morales is not technically in power again, right?
No, his former second in command, Luis Arce, is set to run in the next set of elections, and by all accounts, will win in a landslide.
But Mas is in power, right? Like,
I think Mas has provisionally taken control of the government again in the face of like the way that the allegations have been proven. But the reporting on it is fuzzy, and also I haven't checked in like a day and a half, so I'm not.
So
sure.
the
it's moving very quickly.
The way their elections works is a little different than the United States. Mm-hmm. Which is, it's weirdly, their elections, people, I guess their votes actually are counted instead of here, where the CIA just just decides everything. But you know the CIA tried to do that in Bolivia too. But Luis Arce is in power right now.
Oh, okay, cool.
But there, so because he won in October so handily, they would normally do a runoff election, but because he won so handily, he is just straight up the president. So they're just cleaning up after, you know, the right wing coup, like fascists are kind of scrambling. And it's nice to see. It's nice to see that this Jeanine Añez bitch is behind bars. I hope that they fucking do Guantanamo shit to her. Like, fuck her.
Well, just for their own like presence on the world stage, I hope they don't get in trouble for it. But if they can do it under the radar, she deserves
do whatever.
It.
Yeah, they she
should,
deserves it.
They should just parade her around on TV and do fucking SNL bits. Like, you thought you were going to be the president of Bolivia? Now you're living in a box down by the river.
Just making fun of her constantly. Like, every week they bring her out and make fun of her. And every single person in Bolivia watches.
You think like, God will save CIA? You now?
Remember those fucking mercenary dudes that the Venezuelan authorities caught? They just paraded them around on TV. Like, that was the best energy of all time.
Now I'm imagining, like, if, like Bryn was saying, like, imagine an American communist revolution, people would still be like, I want to watch my SNL. So every week you just bring out Ted Cruz and Joe Biden and all the disgraced former politicians and you just make fun of them. The crowd like throws tomatoes at them. Everyone in America would watch that. That'd be the best show on
TV.
They
do like the little, like, make their face a little puppet and like move their mouth and be like, I'm Joe Biden. I didn't give any money to you and I owed you $2,000. And they just like dunk them in a water tank.
Yeah. Yeah. And people in the leftover capitalist countries were like, people in the UK and like Argentina and stuff are at home watching and they're like, this is communist brain control. That's Ted Cruz puppet is hypnotizing me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, speaking of a precipitous fall from grace, an article came out on the Gray Zone by Ben Norton and Max Blumenthal. That apparently a person named Alexander Reed Ross, who is the source, curiously, for a lot of articles about how the left is secretly fascist, how there's some sort of red-brown alliance, how like there's crypto-fascists doing class reduction in the DSA, or how, you know, basically, and he's written for the Southern Poverty Law Center, who has since issued a retraction because he was literally lying. The Daily Beast has now been exposed. Oh, he was the guy that was pushing the Jimmy Dore, Pizzagate, Chapo says the N-word.
This guy also said that
Nick Mullen went on Bill Maher and dropped the N-word, which I believe was an actual bit that they did on Comptown. So this guy has been exposed
Bill Maher said the N-word.
To be... a literal psyop. This guy worked with cops, the CIA, and Department of Homeland Security and was funded by the Koch brothers to do these articles about how the left is actually fascist. And if you're a good liberal, you should disavow any connection with any sort of leftist, whether they're a podcaster or a labor organizer or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I love it when totally good faith leftists show up and tell me that I should not be interested in talking to or listening to any other good faith leftist.
Definitely not a cop. Yeah.
So does that make this guy the first class reductionist? Because he's calling everyone on the left a class reductionist? I think it's finally happened.
Interesting. Yeah, so this guy, did he run AK Press or just was published by them? I don't remember, but I know his book, Against the Fascist Creep, was recommended. I actually owned this book. I've never read it.
Who published that? Is it like a Verso book?
No, it's AK.
Oh, okay.
There's some pictures of him on this article wearing a big... AK Press, which honestly, I'm not trying to say anything, but I've always been a little suspicious of that label because of some of the things that they have published seemed a little bit like cop shit. Mm. And now we know one of them was literally cop shit.
That's right.
Does the A stand for assault rifle in the AK?
No, I don't think so.
You sure? I think it might.
Assault rifle?
Yeah. Assault rifle kids press.
AK. Yeah. Assault rifle children.
K. I think AK quite obviously at this point just stands for actually cops. Like
actually. Yeah. Keystone Cops.
I mean, there's some good stuff in here, but I figure also like if you're running a leftist publishing company, especially like let's say you don't have like the most coherent of leftist politics, you are just somebody who runs a publishing company and is like, oh, there's a market here and I'm sympathetic to this. Like there's Alexander Berkman and like a lot of standard like Emma Goldman. It's a lot of anarchist stuff, honestly. And those are the easiest circles to infiltrate because like, you know, anarchism isn't in a lot of cases structural. It's like eight people together like, we should print some books. Like,
yeah, usually it is very decentralized.
Yeah.
Because that's how they think, that's what they think is good. But
so one of the things that I found in this article that's really, really funny is it's a little tangentially related, but apparently this Alexander Ross person who was writing these articles about how the left is secretly fascist, whatever, he is actually one of his colleagues is a person named Denver Riggleman, who is a conservative Tea Party guy and a former Republican member of Congress. And apparently Riggleman, back in 2018, when he was running for the Virginia congressional seat, he was exposed as having a, quote, Bigfoot erotica collection.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
This is absolutely related. It's not tangential.
This guy who is friends with this guy, Alexander Ross, who's writing these articles, has a bunch of like pencil drawn pictures of Bigfoot with a huge cock.
A big
cock.
Oh my
God. The centering bar is like half the picture. Where does it stop and end? It goes down to his knee.
This Riggleman guy is quite obviously like unusually invested in what communists think too, because if you look up like his name and the word CCP or like the word communists or whatever, it's just like he never stops thinking about what communists think. So if there's like a representative who would have been like hiring an author to infiltrate AK Press or whatever, like it would be this guy.
Right. And this thing about, okay, so this, we didn't actually talk about this, but this article came out mentioning a lot of our friends, Twitter followers and mm-hmm. people who've been on the show before. Yeah, they didn't mention us because we are small and baby.
Yeah. You mean the
this article,
the Daily Beast article?
There's this big Daily Beast article where this motherfucker wrote some people I don't think are correct. Some people who I like and am friends with. And some people I've never heard of. All of these people are in some sort of the narrative of the article is that all of these people are in some sort of cahoots to. Well, one thing I think is strange about this whole thing is that they don't really have a final conclusion, because is it that the left is all fascists? Like anyone who claims to be a socialist is also a fascist, or that there are fascists infiltrating some left movement in America? It's not very clear, because it doesn't matter. It's all just, you know, mudslinging anyway.
Yeah.
The left is 25 podcast hosts handing the same Soros check around in a big circle.
Yeah. And the problem is that like, some of these people may be fascists and some of these people may be CIA agents. Like, we don't know. Like, there's gonna be people infiltrating any, if there was actually any movement to infiltrate, I would bet a gazillion dollars that some of them are going to be CIA assets. Like, that it's for sure going to happen. So a CIA guy saying like, hey, some of these guys are CIA guys, is a clear, obvious scam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's very amusing to me, because in this article that this guy wrote, it's obviously a lot of conjecture, but this guy wrote an article basically saying this person retweeted this person, and this person is friends with this other person who likes to pretend he's about to say the N-word, and therefore the entire left is fascist. It is.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what passes for journalism. It's like this person said a bad word on a podcast. Therefore, you know, we should just be like 100%, you know, blue MAGA Biden libs or whatever.
And well, that's what's
it's disgusting. And I know that there's more insidious shit going on, but it's like, it's embarrassing that like leftists, and I've seen leftists actually fall for this shit. It's fucking embarrassing.
Well, I think the reason it's so, you know, because it's all the same sort of like Tumblr level, you know, bullshit of trying to cancel
your fave
each
is problematic.
Other. Well, that's the thing. It's all about like, because a lot of people who are quote unquote on the left or whatever, you know, they say, you know, they still have it in their brains. We were talking about how deeply America is like in our culture, you know, all of the advertising and personal branding experiences. This applies to this too, in that people want to be, you know, they don't want anything that is contrary or, you know, perpendicular to the way that they're perceived in their brand. And so if they're perceived as like an ethical, political know-it-all whiz kid or whatever, and they're like connected somehow to, it's like people get in their brains like, oh, this company is owned by this company, so don't support them. And they say, okay, you're following this person who's following this person is not the same thing, but they process it the same way. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. All the bigger accounts that I follow are my parent companies. Yeah.
I really think that people's brains work that way.
Yeah, like follow policing. Like you follow somebody, so you automatically that means you can be held accountable for signing on to everything they've ever said. That's like, oh, you said hi to somebody once on the street, and therefore 20 years later when they it turns out that they were a serial killer, that means you actually committed the serial killing.
Yeah, like, insane. I follow Mike Cernovich because I think he's right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, come on now.
He's always right. All the outfits he posted for men to wear, they were perfect outfits.
Website.
They were great. They were great outfits.
I follow a guy named Bronze Age Pervert because I think he's the pinnacle of ideology, not because I think he's fucking entertaining.
Yeah, or you know, just because it's weird, you want to see what's going. Like, I check 4chan at least once a week. Like, I'm on poll for like a half an hour at least once a week just to like make sure I know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Like, you got to come up with the takes to because, say in the episode every week. Well, from poll.
That's right.
Yeah, because yeah. I steal all my
your handler. That's how your handlers communicate with you.
And also, like, every fucking few months there's some story where reporters are like saying in mystified tones like something that originated on 4chan, and I'm like, you can literally just look at 4chan every few days and you will see it before it happens.
Yeah. I mean, maybe when I was like 14 years old I was like, oh, 4chan, I heard that place is for bad boys. I'm hesitating as I'm typing in the URL. I'm like, I'm like looking out the window to make sure that like SWAT isn't bearing down on my house. 4chan.org.
And then it's too like, scary. You're like, fuck this. I'm just going to go buy.
Yeah, yeah. You close the tab. Like, wait. Incognito mode. There we go.
Shit, I got it. Yeah.
It's so funny too because every one of those reporters who was like something from 4chan 8 years ago, I'd guarantee they did a lame Rickroll joke long after it stopped being funny and thought it was the funniest thing ever in their newsroom or whatever.
Eventually, there's going to be like one fucking news agency that's still so fucking far out of touch that like they 2022 rolls around and they're like, finally, we released our Harlem Shake video.
We've been working on it for 20 years. Yeah.
Well, speaking of what ended up being the actual world's biggest Harlem Shake video attempt, the Capitol, quote, insurrection on January 6th, something that we've talked about multiple times as being, you know, completely manufactured by the government in order for them to clamp down on people's civil liberties. Apparently, NPR is now posting the personal information of every single person that was arrested at the Capitol riot. Their age, what town they live in, what charges, like a little bio, like everything they know about these people. Like you can go and look, and it's not just like guy, I don't know, you know, assaulted a police officer, whatever. It's not just that. It's person was like not there for the riot, but you know, didn't know how to leave the grounds, so was arrested for trespassing. Like that person's personal information is now on NPR for like crazed libs to like track them down. Like
Ariel Pink's address is on here.
Yeah, yeah.
I can finally bail on the tape I'm working on.
this shit is fucking insane.
Yeah, they do this sometimes with like I've never seen this before.
No, yeah. There's nothing like this ever. NPR has never done anything like this. This is this is what fucking Adam Waffen does. They do like kill lists of like left wing journalists.
And they're revving up because they can do it with like the fucking right wingers that they're so scared of because they like threw a fucking barbecue at the Capitol or whatever. And they're gearing up. I mean, fucking Citations Needed just did a whole episode on this. Like they'll just come for the leftists next. This is all an excuse to like make registries of Black Lives Matter protesters or communists or whatever. You
it's not even necessarily that though, because, well, yes, they will use this on leftists guaranteed, but it's not necessarily just that. It's also like we live under like the liberal fascist regime that we live under has consolidated power so much that they have a huge segment of the population that just thinks that we live under like a good liberal president right now, you know, blue MAGA, whatever. And that these people are literally, they need to be depersoned. They did whatever, like a 71-year-old woman who was arrested for trespassing on public property. It's like, and I don't know. This is a preview, but it's also a show of force. It's also a like you are like good luck ever getting a job again for the rest of your life. And it's like even if this person was like a hateful MAGA freak, it's like what do you think they're gonna do once you know they get told every time they apply for a job that no, your face and name are on NPR as an enemy of the state, we can't hire you. Where do you think they're gonna turn?
Yeah, I mean, well.
they're supposed to go company, to the Troop Coffee Company.
Yeah, yeah.
Company, they'll all work there.
They're supposed to go to jail. Like, that's the idea, right? Is the, I guess, the idea the is that they're criminals and they've broken the law, and so they're going to go to prison now because of their trespassing, or I mean, or literally, this is the thing: is that like these are people who are functionally tricked into doing a demonstration against the state. There was never really any plans to, you know, take over the country.
Right. Nobody walked in and was like, okay, time for part two of the plan. They were like, wow, this is fun.
This
putting
is
my
cool.
Feet up, yeah, they're like fucking Beavis and Butthead in the movie.
And it's
the
White House. In a fucking public building. You know, like, wow. Like John
is
said, the politics is stored in the building. Like this is,
yeah.
Like these places are public. Like there's a charge that you see in a lot of these people. That's unlawful entry of public property. It's like, what the fuck is that? That's like when the police are like, this has been declared an unlawful protest. Please go home. It's like, what the fuck? If you could just use the Constitution as fucking toilet paper, what the fuck are you, you know, on
you can.
In your other,
it's nothing.
Like in your other life, in your fucking, in the media saying that it's the most important thing in the fucking world, you know?
Right. Because it's all just whatever serves power at the moment. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so confusing morally and like difficult to talk about with this stuff, because it's like these people are just as wrong as any other libs, right? Like they wanted Trump to stay president, which is lame and stupid, but no more lame than wanting Biden to be president. So yeah. It's like they're all of these libs are stupid, but I feel what's so hard is that this is all just controlled by the state. Like like to me, this was a 9/11 level trick where it was like, you have to believe that we are cracking down on the baddies for our own personal gain, for more power, for more consolidation of power. Which is not true. They just want to be able to arrest anybody they want forever for not for like being outside of the narrow band of ideology that is allowed.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's like barely
what if
any,
you're
like,
part of the
spaces.
Red Brown Alliance? What if you're in the what if you're in the that's what that guy's doing. The guy writing the articles. Like, what if you're in the DSA? Oh, that means you're an enemy of the state. We should put you in jail too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, but this is the thing. Like, this is almost it. Almost feels like ritualistic theater to be like,
yes,
look,
absolutely.
If you ever tried this, you would all be murdered. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's what I've been saying since the beginning. That is exactly what it is. And that's why the January 6th shit, that was literally planned and executed by the liberal fascist regime.
Exactly.
100%. Yeah. And it's like, there's less and less public spaces to even like meet with more than 10 people anyway. Like everything is owned by a corporation or owned by the state in some way. So it's like, if they can like shame you this much and like plaster you all over NPR just for like being in a place, it's like that means they can just do that anywhere they want. Like, oh, you were by the highway, you were by Walmart, you are all under arrest for trespassing.
Yeah. I think the thing I wanted to say, this kind of wraps up the last thing we were talking about, which is that like the government, the liberal fascist state that we live in is infiltrating all of us, like
right. Sure.
Whether it's through marketing, whether it's through literally CIA agents in your organization or like trying to influence your propaganda, whether that's a podcast or your magazine or whatever, like they're trying to tear us apart. And you really have to be careful of who you listen to, because it's like sometimes those people are fascists. So
that's
guy,
why I'm constantly yelling at everybody around me that they're doing lib takes, even my own co-hosts. I'm just trying to keep you all honest.
We never do lib takes.
I would never.
We've never done a lib take.
I was born a communist and I'll die a communist. I came out and I already had the beard like Lenin. And my parents were like, "What happened? This baby looks horrible."
Yeah, but you know, it's just everyone does have, you know, it's hard to live in America and, you know, not even if you were impoverished growing up like myself or, you know, whatever, like it's really hard not to have like lots of lib brain things that you have to interrogate and make sure you're like not trying to just be a personal brand. And, you know, it's hard, especially when there's no actual big movement going on to, you know, help you communally. So just be careful. Try not to be too hard on each other, I'd mm-hmm. say, unless they're a capitalist, and then be as hard as you can.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much for listening to Beep Beep Lettuce. This has been the episode. We are having a great time talking to you. Please, if you'd like to hear more of our show, go to patreon.com/beepbeeplettuce and you can hear weekly bonus episodes there. You can get access to the Discord where we hang out. We have a voice chat. We do Mario Kart. John streams at twitch.tv/beepbeeplettucepod. Lots of fun stuff. Follow us on Twitter at weedpod. You can follow us all individually there. And go to Mids Posting on Facebook and we'll see you in the Discord.
I'm going to make keep beeping. The Fortnite song, the outro. Beep on, y'all.
Yeah, do, oh, no. Do it.
No! Yeah, do it.
And it'll go right here.
No!
We got a number one victory royale. Yeah, Fortnite, we about to get down.
Get down.
10 kills on the board right now. Just wiped out Tomato Town. My friend has gone down. I revived him. Now we're heading southbound. Now we're in the Pleasant Park streets. Look at the map. Go to the mark sheet. Take me to your Xbox to play Fortnite today. You've been taking my Steve Meyer, but not Loot Lake. I really love to chug chug with you. We can be pro Fortnite gamers. He said, hey broski, you got some heals in the shield pot? I need healing and I am only at 1 HP. Hey dude, sorry, I found nothing on this safari. I checked the upstairs of that house, but not the underneath yet. There's a chest that's just down there. The storm is coming fast and you need heals to prepare. I've got V-Bucks that I'll spend, more than you can contend. I'm a cool pro Fortnite gamer. Cool pro Fortnite. Take me to your Xbox to play Fortnite today. You can take me with Steve Meyer, but not Loot Lake. I really love to chug chug with you. We can be pro Fortnite gamers. La la la. Fortnite gamer, can we get a win this weekend? Take me to Loot Lake. Let's change the game mode and we can disco dominate. Let's hop in an ATK, take me to the zone. I'm running kind of low on mats, I need to break some stone. Roused in all his fancy clothes, he's got Renegade Raider and he's probably a pro. He just shot my back, I turn back and I attack. I just got a victory royale, a victory royale. Take me to your Xbox to play Fortnite today. You can take me more Steve Meyer, but not Loot Lake. I really love to chug chug with you.